Julian Schnabel made his name and his fortune in the early 80s as a painter. In 1996, he turned to filmmaking, first with the biopic Basquiat, then with Before Night Falls, based on the memoir of a Cuban exile. Now he takes on stroke victim Jean-Dominique Bauby's memoir, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly. The film, in French, opens today in some cities. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
You'd imagine a film set partly inside the head of a stroke victim who can only move one eyelid would be an exercise in claustrophobia. But Julian Schnabel's adaptation of Jean-Dominique Bauby's best-selling memoir, The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, is among the most unfettered movies I've ever seen. The body of Bauby, he's called John Doe, might be heavy and immobile and a world away from the surface, the diving bell. But even though his body has a rare condition called locked-in syndrome, his mind is as sharp as ever. And in that mind, he's the butterfly, soaring through time, projecting himself anywhere. Schnabel stays true to John Doe's plight, yet his technique is probing and alert and expansive. The movie is anything but diving bell bound. In the first third, the director recreates John Doe's constricted universe from the inside out. Schnabel and his cinematographer, Janusz Kaminski, play catch-as-catch-can, the way their immobilized hero must have. The screen is half in, half out of focus. Figures slant away, then loom in the foreground as people peer into the camera to speak to the man who can't answer. But he answers in his head, in the voice of actor Mathieu Almeric, a voice that's acid, impish, sexy. When we catch our first glimpse of his face, it's at the same instant he does, as a reflection in a window, and the disjunction is thunderous. But our gasp becomes a laugh, almost, when John Doe says, "I look like something in a jar of formaldehyde." The diving bell and the butterfly is half tragic, half kind of funny. Whatever Schnabel's posturings as a painter, he's a major film director. He's alive not only to light and texture, but to the character's emotions, which twist the light and warp the textures and permeate the canvas. He's also in sync with his hero's male gaze. When two gorgeous therapists lean into the camera, their cleavage at the bottom of the frame, John Doe's voice says, "Am I in heaven?" It's the reverse, alas. Before his stroke, he was editor-in-chief of the French version of Elle magazine, and quite the roué. Now, the camera fixes longingly on the trembling white thighs of his ex-wife, played by Emmanuel Seigner, and they're so close, yet impossible to touch. Ronald Harwood's screenplay incorporates chunks of the book, but in the most cinematic way imaginable. The second half of the film focuses on the book's writing, as John Doe learns to dictate his memoir one letter at a time. No, that's misleading. His assistant, Claude, played by Anne Consigny, runs through a special alphabet with letters arranged from most to least common, and John Doe blinks when she comes to the one he wants. Then they do it all over again. And again. And again. It's a little depressing to pick up the paperback edition and see one of the blurbs, quote, "You read it at one go. So gripping is the voyage to the inner heart and mind. I mean, let's just slow down here. Every letter is precious." As Jean Doe, Almeric is heartbreaking in both incarnations, the lover in flashback and the legume, that's his word, in the present. It's his boyishness that gets to you. He's been hurled into the final stages of life before having the chance to grow up, to atone for his neglect of his wife and young children, to contemplate his own mortality. Schnabel has said he wants the movie to be a kind of, quote, self-help device that can help you handle your own death. That's a leap, I know. But in John Doe's yearning at the end of his life, in his inability to get out of his head and make full contact with the people he loves, he reminds us how far we all are from the surface of our lives. The Diving Bell and the Butterfly is a masterpiece in which locked-in syndrome becomes a metaphor for the human condition.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine. You can download podcasts of our show by going to our website, freshair.npr.org.